If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What is going on, Dodger fans? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are delighted today because we're honored to be joined by not only Ned Colletti, who all you know was the general manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers, but one of the most fascinating painters in all of Southern California has joined us as well, Dave Hobrick. And Ned and Dave have combined forces to put together a really great read, a great art book. I'm showing it on my screen. This is the all-time Dodgers art book forwarded by Oral Hershiser, who we all know, Ned Colletti, who's here, and Dave. So we're really grateful for them to join the show today. Let's just get into it right away. So Ned and Dave, I want to know kind of what was the inspiration, what sparked this idea?
Go ahead, David.
All right. So like we were talking about earlier, I have a gallery here in Laguna Beach. And so Ned, basically, he had came with his family and he was visiting a couple places in Laguna. We had a booth at a local festival called the Sawdust Festival. It's like a local art festival for the Laguna Beach locals. And so we're doing that in the summer. He visited there. And then when he was walking downtown, he came across the gallery, came in. I wasn't there. My good friend Vince was working. And he talked to him and set up a meeting with Ned, and we got to talking on painting a piece together. So the book basically came after. The first thing we did was we worked on a custom piece for Ned, a custom painting. And during that process, we were going through lots of different things. And then just hanging out with the guy was so fun because you get all these cool stories, and I'd ask him questions and all sorts of stuff just because, you know, I'm a baseball nut and I just want to hear it all. And it was just a good time, and we became friends. The process was, we took a long time. We wanted to make it right for his painting. And at the end, we were just like, all right, cool. And he was like, what are you going to do next? And I said I was going to switch to football. And he's like, nah, just stick with baseball. Let's stick with baseball. I'm like, all right. I go, well, you know what? I got an idea that I want to pitch you. You know, he was coming off his great book, The Big Chair. And I'm like, you write, I paint. I have this concept. I want to hear your perspective. I want to hear, because we don't get a GM's perspective often. I go, I want to hear how a GM puts a team together. That's what I want to hear, you know? Not that I'm going to become a GM or anything, but I want to hear how it's done. And I go, I would love to hear you put a team together from, if you could pick anybody from Brooklyn to LA, who you'd pick and why. And I would love to tell the stories on canvas. And we could do a cool book together. And I pitched him, and I was shocked. I was excited that he said, yeah, I'm interested. And we started working on it together. So that was it. Pretty simple.
And it took a while. It took a few, it took a few years to do it. We didn't work on it every day. It was kind of an off and on project, but it took a while. And some players ended up being added near the end because their careers had evolved a little bit more than they were at the outset of our thought process. So, really a fun experience with, I know zero about art, but I know what I like when I see it. And I saw his art in Laguna Beach, and I thought, this guy can really, really do it. So it was easy to do.
So Ned, when you're building a team, you know, you kind of have to look at it from, you know, the big picture of how all of these pieces are going to fit. And when you're choosing which Dodger greats are going to go into these different categories, you know, all-time second baseman, all-time managers, catchers, all so on and so forth. What were some of the tough decisions that you had to make, some of the cuts that you had to make at the last minute that didn't kind of make the overall mural that Dave painted?
Well, I've negotiated for a long time, probably $2 billion worth of contracts, but I could not out-negotiate Dave.
Yeah.
On expanding the roster, you know. I don't want to really get into who didn't make the 26-man roster. I can tell you I was very happy when MLB increased the roster size in real life from 25 to 26. And, you know, that helped me out a little bit. We tried to incorporate a lot of players who, in the minds, and I'll tell you how we ended up selecting the team, who had just missed it. We still tried to incorporate them inside the book, inside the art. And I think we did a admirable job doing that. I didn't want the responsibility solely on me because, you know, I'm the last guy to think I know everything about anything. And so I canvassed longtime writers, broadcasters, people who had watched scouts, people who had seen the evolution of the game, and you could take, you know, they saw baseball, you know, going back into the 60s. They were familiar with the Brooklyn players, on, and kind of took all their thoughts together with what I had known and what I had seen, and started with the pitching staff and started there. And then, you know, added some relief pitching to it and went that way. It was a collaborative effort by many who, you know, just in small talk, hey, what, you know, how'd you think, what'd you think about this player? As you think about the all-time great Dodgers, you know, this player part of it, you know? And so I took a lot of that to come up with the team, but I probably came to Dave 20, 25 times. Like, Dave, come on, let's make a September roster out of this, you know? Expand it out a little bit.
Too many paintings.
So I have a question for both you, Dave, and Ned, but before I get into that in a quick sec, I wanted to kind of showcase a part of this book that really stood out to me. And this was an excerpt that Ned had wrote about Corey Seager. And of course, with you were behind the development, the drafting, the process of Corey Seager. So I just kind of wanted to showcase that and highlight that was something that really stood out to me in this book. And I appreciated that. So where I get to with the question is, it doesn't have to be your favorite player, but who is one player that you were both really excited to paint and write about?
Go first, Dave.
I think I'll probably say the same thing as Ned. It was Jackie, you know? I got to go with that, you know, just what he did for baseball, what he did for this country and what he did, you know, he was in the service. He's just crossing the color barrier and what he did for, you know, for all of us and for Major League Baseball is unbelievable. And what happened was, is so what, you know, the book started off very simple. It was supposed to be 1 through 9. That's it. Ned was going to pick it and I was going to paint it. And like one side was going to be the art. One side was going to be the words, 20 page thick paper book. cool, but, you know, small. But we're like, you know, chatting up, and Ned's like, well, you know, you can't really have an all-time Dodgers book without Tommy, you know? And you can't have an all-time Dodgers book without the guy behind me, with Vin. And what about Gibby's home run? What about Oral's 59? What about this? What about this? And so the book started growing. And what was cool about that was it evolved, and we added a moment section. And we got to paint, like, we were talking about a bunch of stuff, and something about Don Newcomb came up, and he's like, yeah, Nuke used to tell me the story about, you know, how Jackie and Campion and Newcomb and Martin Luther King Jr. would break bread together, you know, and share a meal and, you know, talk about, you know, social issues and racism, segregation, and all sorts of, you know, it has to do with baseball in the United States and everything like that. I'm like, that's crazy. I've never heard that story before. He's like, yeah. He goes, but there's no pictures of it. I'm like, that's fine. Let's make one up. You know, I talked to Bob Kendrick at the Negro Leagues Museum, and he goes, yeah, I talked to Nuke about that too. And so, like, that was a huge rush for me, because I felt like we were painting history, and we're like bringing something visually that hasn't been seen before. So to me, that one, and then the all-time second base. So to me, it was Jackie.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for Black families in Ohio. We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for Black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I would agree on a specific answer. It would be Jackie on a general overview. I tried to add something for everything we wrote. I tried to add something that would tell a story and would also be news to those who followed the franchise for a long, long time, or even new fans. When it came to Jackie, I had the distinct honor to meet his bride and Rachel and to talk to her from time to time. And I had something to do with everybody wearing number 42. Ken Griffey Jr. That came up with the idea. And then at the very outset of players wearing 42 on April 15th every season, I think only one player per team was going to have the opportunity to wear 42. And I went to ownership and then to the commissioner's office. I said, "We're the Dodgers. Everybody should be wearing 42. And I think through conversations, Commissioner Selig said, "Hey, you know, that's what we're going to do." And so had a little bit of a role, tiny role in that. And
I didn't know is that right? Hold on, I didn't mean to stop you there, but I did not know that was your idea.
Well, it was not my idea. It was Ken Griffey's idea to wear 42.
Right. No, I'm saying you're right.
The thought process, it was one player. We're going to pick one player to wear 42 on April the 15th. And I said, you know, who am I picking? It's the Dodgers.
Right. You know? Now, that's what I was saying. Your idea was for the entire team to wear it.
Yeah. And I talked it over to ownership and they called the commissioner's office. As I recall, that's how it went. But I also had the chance to meet Roy Campanella in Cooperstown before Roy passed. And, it was an honor to meet Campy. And then I came to the Dodgers and 100 times I sat with Don Newcomb, one of the best people I'd ever met. And we would talk so much, and Nuke would show up in my office, or I'd meet him in the seats behind home plate during BP, and always showed up like GQ. I mean, he was sharp all the time. And we'd talk about all sorts of things. And I remember my son came in, my son's scouted for a while. My son's an adult, husband, father. And I said, "You got to meet Nuke." And so I put him and Nuke together about 4 o'clock, and it was about 10 to seven. And I pick him up, we're sitting with Nuke. I said, "All right, I'm going to go upstairs." And we're walking up. I said, "So how much baseball did you talk?" He goes, "We never even got to baseball." Mm-hmm. That was Nuke. And you can learn so much about life and so much about what Jackie went through and what Nuke went through and what Campy went through and what the black ball player went through in the 40s and the 50s. I mean, just educational. And he told me that Dr. King uses, they'd have a meal with Dr. King every so often, the three players and Dr. King Jr. And right before he was assassinated, in fact, they had a meal. And I thought, wow, to sit in that room and to hear that. And Dr. King had told Campy and Jackie and Nuke that they had done so much for the cause, probably as much as anybody, if not more, because of the platform they had too. So I came to Dave with that idea, and that turned out to be a phenomenal work of art. But the Jackie, everything that Jackie did in his life was phenomenal and different and took so much courage to do what he did. So anytime I would put the name Jackie Robinson down on a piece of paper, Jack Roosevelt Robinson, I was honored to do it. But the stories, you know, you mentioned the Seeger story, you know, different little insights and things that I came across through my own experiences or through conversations with Vin or Jaime Rin or, you know, numerous other people who've been around the organization. The great Billy DeLurie, who was with the organization for 60 some years and was behind the scenes, but knew everybody. And, you know, he was also somebody that I would lean on quite a bit. If you needed to get Sandy Koufax on the phone, you get Billy. You say, Billy, I need to talk to Sandy. Any chance? You give me, see you in a minute. Come back in 10 minutes. And here's Sandy. So anyway, a little long winded there, but.
No, those are all fascinating details. We could listen to these details for hours. I was struck when we looked through the book, just taking a look at just on each page and the beautiful illustrations, you know, just taking a look at all of the different players over all of the eras. And you see on the same page of, you see Kershaw and Sandy Koufax together on one page. And you see like Andre Ethier and Sean Green. I'm just wondering, it got me thinking, like, what, I mean, both of you could answer this, but like, what are two players, you could just pick any two that you would, from different eras, that you would have liked to have seen on the same Dodgers team?
Wow.
This episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast is brought to you by TickPick. If you haven't checked out the TickPick app yet, you need to do yourself a favor. Download the app right now, search Dodgers, and find the date that you're looking to go and get the best deals on the open market to see your Los Angeles Dodgers chase another NL West division crown as we push for October and hopefully a World Series. I'm in Las Vegas right now, and there are Raiders fans, Raiders players everywhere, and that's getting me excited for football season. So if you're looking to get some NFL tickets as well, because the season starts in just a couple of weeks, TickPick has you covered. If you're an avid concert goer like myself, I'm here to see the Killers. You can see your favorite bands, your favorite musical artists, all by using the TickPick app. No service fees at checkout. You see the price you're going to pay, no hidden fees, and you're going to get the best deal. So download the TickPick app right now.
Jackie.
Do you have one that I got? Jackie and Mookie. Oh, that'd be sick. Yeah, that'd be
yeah.
Yeah. Mine's Kersh and Sandy. God. Yeah,
that's what crazy. A deadly rotation.
Yes.
That would be unbelievable. And if you had Drysdale with those two, whew, that would be my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good. I tell you where the concept of some of this came from. I think I have a dear friend with the Anaheim Angels, and I stopped over. I scout in the NHL and I work for the San Jose Sharks. So I'm on my way to the pond one night. And I'm going to leave an extra couple hours because I want to see my buddy at the Angel Stadium. And behind his desk, he has a picture of all these presidents, not sure Democrat, Republican, kind of an irrelevancy to the story, but from different eras. And they're sitting around like a hunting lodge, having a whiskey, telling stories. And I thought about my own family, how my dad died a young guy and my baseball career was 40 years long. My dad saw 3 months. You know, he missed grandchildren. He missed life. Our lives as my brother and I as adults. And they could never be in the same room together. So that's what I originally went to Dave with. Could he paint a picture of my family, the people who were instrumental in my career that never had a chance to meet each other, and on and on. And so when we started talking about this book, we talked about taking that same concept and what would it be like to have Campy and Mike Piazza talking about catching. What would it be like to have, Sandy, and we've seen Sandy and Clayton many times in real life, but, you know, Clayton and Don Drysdale. What would it be like to have, you know, that combination with Don Sutton right there and Dazzy Vance? And so that was kind of one of the other emphases, I think, of why we did what we did, was to put people together who had the same goals, the same cause, the same dreams, but didn't have a chance to know each other because life came and went in some cases.
Well,
credit to you, Ned, because I feel like in the 21st century, that 1-2 punch of Kershaw and Greinke was about as good as it gets.
Yeah, it was pretty. And Ryu, too. I signed Greinke and Ryu back-to-back days. And Hunjin Ryu was pretty good too. I signed Zach on a Saturday, and 100 on a Sunday, back to back day. Spent a lot of money in 24 hours, but got a couple Cy Young candidates out of the deal.
Did you know specifically with those two? Did you know that you were going to be able to get both in the same weekend, or was it the case of like I need to focus on one player at a time?
Well, in that case, we ran parallel, two different agencies, CAA with Zach, Casey Close, and then Scott Boras with Hyunjin. We had bid on Hyunjin Ryu as a posting system with Korea, his team. So we had won the bid. So we were the only team that was going to negotiate with him. We had a 30-day window. And the 30th day happened to be that Sunday.
Wow.
And knowing I've known Scott for 40 years, so I knew there wasn't going to be a ton of negotiation, actual negotiation, probably until Saturday night or Sunday morning. You got to have a deadline almost in that situation. We had met Hyunjin for a meal down in Orange County, I think, and I spent some time with him. And I knew that he had an appetite for being a Dodger. And I knew that with our great Korean population in LA, that it would be a sense of feeling comfortable, which I thought was a big thing. And we kept talking about that. But the Zach one was almost a tougher one of the two. Had tremendous interest from other teams, including, as I found out later, the Texas Rangers. And so, you know, California, not to get too much detail here, but California teams sometimes are at a disadvantage when you're talking about teams from Florida, teams from Texas, teams that have no state tax, income tax. So when you're thinking about the California state income tax, for somebody making over $100 million over the term of a contract versus zero, you know, you're talking some pretty big iron, right? So, you know, the Zach Greinke one took a lot of conversations with Casey Close, and always felt I had a great relationship with the agent because we were just candid with each other. And he would say, you know, we're going to do this. Zach came out and met with Don Mattingly and Stan Kasten and myself. Spent 3 hours with us. Rare that a player would come without the agent. I'd always try to meet with a player, but the agent 99 out of 100 times is showing up to kind of lead the conversation. Zach came in on his own, and we sat for probably 3 hours and asked him questions, and he had a bunch for us. So that one was a little bit tougher to do, and I gave Zach a 3-year out. 6-year deal, but after 3 years, he could explore free agency. If he ended up getting hurt and couldn't pitch, we were going to be on the hook for 6 years, but I was willing to take that chance. He stayed three, went to Arizona, I think, after that, but was 51 and 15, I think, in 3 years.
Yeah, so, he was special.
He won't be in the book, but he'll, you know.
That was a very, very special rotation for many, many years there. I kind of want to shift gears a little bit, guys, to this current Dodgers team, because I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, just kind of analyzing the trade deadline of where the Dodgers were, what their needs were, the injuries that they had, and kind of what would be their strategy for the trade deadline. In my mind, it was like, I knew that we needed a starting pitcher, definitely, maybe two, and maybe like a big bat. And it seemed as though Andrew Friedman in the front office there went with kind of the idea that, you know, we're going to be aggressive for a starting pitcher, and we're going to get some pieces here and there. But ultimately, what we're going to do is wait for our big horses to come back, you know, Max Muncy and Mookie Betts and, you know, Clayton Kershaw coming back and Walker Buehler coming back and Bobby Miller. So what I guess this is questions for Ned originally, but what were you thinking during this trade deadline, Ned, in terms of what the Dodgers strategy was? And were you analyzing it from, you know, your knowledge as a former general manager?
Well, I know two things. One, I don't know everything that's going on. And two, I know that, you know, fan bases, sometimes media, expect certain things. But there's more than just your decision-making that goes into it. you've got to have another team that wants to do business with you. You've got to have a prospects that other team wants. You have to have an ownership that is on both sides that is willing to do this. So it's far from easy. It is always super complicated. And until you get to the last day, really, you know, you don't necessarily know who's bluffing and who's for real. And the only, typically, generally, the deals that are made ahead of the last day of the deadline, or the last 24 hours, I'll say, are where a team is trying to shed salary. And so every day counts for them. So they'll move somebody on the 25th or the 20th. But most of the time, you don't know till the end. But, you know, I can't speculate on what the thought process was. I can understand waiting on all that pitching to come back. And nobody knows where anybody's health is at better than the team that the pitcher's with, whether it's the Dodgers or anybody else, and waiting for some of your position player bats to come back. And, you know, and that's a big part of it, to understand where your team is at and being honest with yourself, especially the teams that are borderline, that are, you know, 4 games out of the last wild card spot, but there's 5 teams ahead of them. You know, you got to be honest with yourself. How good is your club? And, you know, are you going to go invest and move prospects for if come maybe, and maybe you're in and out in a week. But, you know, I think you mentioned that one of the guys that's going to be in the next edition of the book, certainly Mookie Betts, you know, not on our all-time team right now, but, you know, as we get into this and in the second edition in another few years, Dave will be painting away Mookie Betts like crazy. And
Shohei.
And Shohei, and probably Freddie Freeman and Dave Roberts. Yeah. You know, he's going to have to give me more space than 26 players. So I'm starting that negotiation right now. We can't knock these other guys off. They've already been on the all-time team. You can't take away that all-time team ring that we gave them.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the, just quickly, the parameters of what you guys use to add these players to the book, they already had to have completed their careers. In other words, you weren't picking anybody that was currently on the team.
No, and they had to have enough duration as being a Dodger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's why we added moment sections. It's like a Gibson home run, right? You know, he's not an all-time Dodger. He's not on the all-time team. That moment's an all-time moment in Dodgers history. It's such a part of the history. It's unbelievable, you know? So, yeah, and what Ned said is what's cool about the book is that it's a living book. Like, this isn't finished. You know, we ran our first edition. But we're like, you know, as Dodger fans, we know we're going to have so many more moments and so many more championships and wins and all sorts of stuff to document in the future. And, you know, every 3-5 years when a bunch of these come up, we're going to add a section or add more to the moments. And you named a couple of them right there. The book got picked up by Rolling Stone for Korea and Japan. And, you know, one of the moments for them, of course, was this signing with Ohtani, you know. So, you know, we added a section for them, but for the Dodgers book, it's like, it's fun because it's never going to end. And now that we're got this basic like blueprint of the book, we're going to do other books. But we're only picking organizations, you know, great organizations that are going to be around forever. So we could continue on telling these stories. Cause it's a blast. You know?
That's awesome.
For example, when the idea started, Justin Turner was probably halfway through his Dodger career. So if that day we started, if the team was picked that day and that was it, JT's probably not on the team. But you add 3 or 4 years, his last 3 or 4 years on top of the first 4 or 5 years, and you see the playoff performance, and you see what a great third baseman he developed into, what a great hitter he became, great clutch hitter, great leader in the community, especially with Veterans of War. You know, how do you keep them off the team? So that's maybe the best example of the evolution of the thought process. And it'll just continue with Mookie and perhaps Freddie and Shohei and Dave Roberts going forward.
Right. I got one more question for you, Ned, before we sign off. So you mentioned you know, Dodgers having to be on the team for a certain amount of years to make the book. But there was one Dodger during your tenure that I felt like made as big of an impact as anyone during his brief 3 years with the team, and that's Manny Ramirez. So I kind of wanted to get a quick insight, if you're able to share, how that trade came to fruition.
Well, 3 minutes ain't going to do it justice. It came about late. He wanted to come to L.A., had a no trade. I had talked to Boston for quite a while, but you know, we were in a period of time in our ownership where we weren't picking up any money, as you may recall. So when Theo Epstein called me, I said, well, Theo, you know, we have interest, but you know, you better have a big truck with $7.5 million. You're going to be driving to LA so we can pay for it. But we worked out a 3-way deal with Pittsburgh, and they paid, Boston paid the salary. And we had a player that really changed our team overnight. We were a good team. We became a really good team with him. And went to the LCS that first year, went to the LCS the second year with him. Had a chance to get CC Sabathia 2 weeks before we got Manny. And, you know, that may have put us over the top. But again, money had become somewhat of an issue.
Yeah, every time you talk about CC Sabathia, my heart hurts because I just was.
You. Gosh.
I mean, yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, like what do
he could have been the all-time Dodger. Could have been in that pitching staff.
I know. Well, I mean, just to see what happened when he got traded to the Brewers and just the he carried that team to the playoffs. It's just like, dang.
He got traded on a Monday or a Tuesday. The Saturday before, we were in San Francisco, had a like an early evening game, and that was a deciding moment, me trying to convince Joe Torre and me trying to convince our leadership that, hey, look, this can change our dynamic drastically. Couldn't get it done, and then went and got Casey Blake a couple days later. And
loved,
out of that
loved
deal,
Casey
part
Blake.
Of that deal. And then went after Manny. Interestingly, the last thing I'll say, the players we traded for Manny were not in the CC Sabathia deal. So In theory, we could have did them both.
Wow.
And then got Greg Maddux a couple weeks
right.
later.
That's right.
But hey.
All right. Well, we want to thank Dave and Ned for their time today. And as a reminder, the All-Time Dodgers art book is out now. Want to give you guys a quick couple minutes if there's anything else you wanted to share about the book or where our listeners can purchase this. I'll make sure to have this shared and the links and all that of the best resources to buy the book, because in my opinion, it's an awesome read and great visuals by Dave.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Yeah, you can grab it in a couple spots. You go to thealltime.com, of course. We have a gallery in Laguna. Stop by, pick up a copy. Oral Store in Claremont, Legends Attic. You could grab signed copies from Oral. It's signed by Oral, Ned, and myself. And then, of course, we'd love for you to your listeners to go and buy one off you know, Baseball Hall of Fame website. It's at the Hall of Fame to support them, of course. And then, you know, Barnes & Noble. So hit anywhere, you know. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks for having us on, too. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for having us on.
Yes. Appreciate nice it. To meet both of you. Thank you.
Thank
gentlemen.
You, guys.
All right.
All right, you guys. Take yes. care. Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.